Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and welcome to hour number two. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Umat has the weekend off. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio.
Absolutely.
With his chocolate almonds, cup of tea, and ready to go.
Absolutely ready to go. Come on, hit me with another call.
Okay, well, speaking of those chocolate almonds, Jeanette would like to talk to you about maybe sugar cravings. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Jeanette.
Hello.
From Renton. Good morning.
well... Thin or fat, it looks like we all have sugar cravings.
No
matter what our particular favorite is. But I was wondering, you know, over the years, you talk to doctors and so forth and so on, you say, what can I do about sugar cravings? And they say, oh, you know, do housework, ironing, do a little sewing, do this. I'm telling you, you can eat a candy bar or you can eat a cookie. Washing the car, you can do it too.
And you can.
I was wondering, is there some, other than eating carrots, is there some way...
Broccoli.
You know, I've had a couple
carrots
of girlfriends
don't cure
I just can't stand it. I crave sugar.
Oh,
is there something that prompts it? Is it mind? Ah. Is it our salivary glands or what is it?
Right. My 92-year-old mom is right there with you, Jeanette, because she'll say, Lynette, how do you not? And I'm like, that's not my,
Yeah, some people have less
cravings
than others.
And she'll eat the whole thing of brownies if she could.
Okay, so
what can we do, Dr. Mixon? She's 92. I'm like, hey, if you want to eat that whole thing of brownies,
she's only 10 years older than me.
There you go. Okay, so Dr. Mixon, what can we do besides all of those things? Is there something that can help?
Well, yes, there are some things that might work, but you're fighting a primary craving, a primary desire. There are certain things in life that we are designed to crave.
Mm.
Okay. In youth, the number one is passion, is sex. You know, that's a primary driver. And you can put all the social and religious constraints on you want, but biology's gonna win.
And it's still it there, does, right? Okay.
You know, it does.
Right, yeah.
And food.
I get it.
and food is another primary driver. It's one of those things that the species has to have to survive and reproduce and, you know, make more of us. We gotta eat. And our ancestors were designed to eat the highest calorie, tastiest foods we could find. Mm. You know, if you look at humanity before farming, before agriculture, we were primarily scavengers. You know, our teeth and our claws are pretty puny when compared with most of the rest of the animals on Earth. And so to fight it down barehanded and kill it, we didn't get to eat very much of that.
No.
You know, so that, which is why we learned to use rocks and sticks, and that developed into spears and bows and arrows and so on, because, you know, we needed to augment our natural prowess at getting food. We ate mostly plants, leaves, roots, because they don't run very fast. They're easy for us to catch.
We can catch them.
You know, you eat what's available.
There's a place where they grow too.
Okay.
That's true. Yes. But you know, people eat all kinds of stuff in different parts of the world because we all developed the ability to eat what is in our environment. But meat was actually a rarity for most of humanity, for most of human history, until agriculture, when we actually now could keep those animals captive and, you know, available to us, and we didn't have to chase them.
Right.
From our ancestors, having enough to eat was the biggest problem. It wasn't overeating, because food has always been scarce. I mean, the biggest complaint of humanity has been hunger for time immemorial. And starvation is still common in some parts of the world, though thankfully not nearly as bad as it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But our ancestors would eat everything they could in the summer and the fall. When the food was available, we scarfed up everything we could get because winter was coming. And in winter, you know, things were going to be less available. There's just not as much of it. And so people who went into the winter skinny died.
Mm.
And they didn't have babies the next year. People who went into winter fat survived the winter. You lived off your fat stores when there wasn't enough food around. And so what we did over the eons is we genetically were selected to get to genetically have a drive to eat whenever high calorie food is available. That's built into our genome. And that was a survival trait for our ancestors.
Wow.
To eat and gain weight whenever it was available, because it wasn't always going to be available. Okay. And so basically what happened is, you've heard of survival of the fittest? No.
Yes.
This was survival of the chubbies.
Oh.
That's who survived. Yeah. Yes. You know, that's who lived to get through the winter.
Okay.
And they're the ones that had the babies, and they passed that trait on, and it was just selected. Our genome doesn't know anything about our social cultures and our desires or our religions. These are just built into simple, straightforward biology. And we still have the same bodies from 10, 12,000 years ago. And so when there is high-calorie food available, we crave it.
We want it.
We really do. And that's made into it. And so physicians need to recognize, when we tell people to eat less than your body craves, we are asking you to commit an inherently unnatural act.
Okay.
Right? It just is.
Try a smaller plate.
And that's what we got to try and do, mm-hmm. is we try to look for strategies that for this individual will help. Now, I don't remember if it was earlier in this show or if it was in the show a couple hours ago, but I was talking about the fact that 80% of men lose their appetite with exercise.
Okay, that's
so
right.
If a man is hungry, he goes out and exercises vigorously, 8 out of 10 times he will lose his appetite. Now, 20% of the men will have it stimulated, but 80% of men don't. This is part of the proof that God is male. Because, you know, female deity did not design the system.
That's right.
With women, it's 50-50. Mm. So you have a 50% chance that if you go do exercise, vigorous activity, it'll suppress your appetite. But you've also got an equal chance it's going to raise your appetite.
Okay.
And until you try it, I don't know which it'll be.
Oh, boy.
I've just returned to the gym for about the past week. Actually, I've been recuperating from some surgeries, but yeah, I've gone back to the gym, and that just triggered something, because I met with a friend and stuff like that, and we went to the gym, and when we came out, she's, oh God, I'm just dying for lunch. And I thought, oh yeah, okay. And I wasn't hungry. I mean, she went home, I went home, but I exercised, and no, I wasn't hungry.
Yes.
Huh, see,
you're
oh, that's a good thing.
You're that fortunate 50% of females.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So I can't live in the gym.
No, you can't.
That's right.
But that's one strategy.
Yes, and that worked for you.
Yeah, that is one strategy that for you, your physiology is such that the exercise will suppress your appetite. Good.
So
we solved part of the problem. Yeah.
Yes.
You know. And so, yes, maybe taking an extra walk in the evening may well help. Okay.
Well, I'm supposed to, but that's the reason I returned to the gym. And when I signed up, they said, oh, they added all these extras. And I said, look, I just want your treadmill. because I have a hell of a time walking in the rain, and I need to walk every day.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, and of course, there's a million diet books out there with a million strategies. Oh, my favorite was one.
I know every diet that's ever been created.
Well, let me see if you know this one. This is one that I came across when I was a young medical student, and I saw this book.
I'm older than you.
And I immediately took it home to my wife.
Okay.
Because it was called Reach for Your Mate Instead of Your Plate, the High Sex Diet.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. In my age range,
yeah.
I'm writing this down.
They're a little yes. less.
Okay. I know. That's why my mother, you know, my stepfather had died about 15 years before my mom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She'd go on these round the world cruises, maybe locked up on a ship with these old men for 3 months.
And one off.
And she said, "Jerry, I get hit on all the time by these, but these old guys don't want a wife. They want a nurse, somebody to take care of them. They're falling apart."
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. But that was my favorite diet, and I took that book right home to my wife.
I bet you did.
You know, you're in your 20s. What are you going to do, you know?
And if I was your wife, I'd say, "Okay, honey, there's the door to the bedroom. Let's go."
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, she loved being pregnant. Mm. She was one of those rare women that adored being pregnant. And as soon as she had a baby, before the 6 weeks was out, we were told you're supposed to wait and recover. She was already planning the next one.
There you go.
And she loved pregnancy and I loved sex. And that is a really dangerous combination. So yeah, we had a lot of kids.
Good. Wow. I had a neighbor down the street. I remember I've lived here about 50 plus years. And when they moved in, she was pregnant. And I says, "Oh, you know, you're first." And she says, "I plan on 9. And she had 9 kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
she did.
Yes. Wow.
That's
and
right.
She's skinny.
Well, yes. Well.
And that's how.
That's right. Well, we had 7 and adopted 2.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
And then we got divorced. She married a man with 5.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. Some unique ways
there
to
are
curb
some
the
people.
Sugar.
There are ways to curb sugar.
There are.
But, you know, mostly it's just a matter of you got to find something else that keeps your mind occupied and distracted. That's really what it is. It's the distraction
step. I just wanted to throw that out there. I know it's a little bit off your premise for helping people, but dang it,
it's
one of those
things,
and I meet people that tell me, "I crave sugar too."
Yes.
Yes,
you do, and it's,
so much
and it's perfectly
love
natural.
I listen to you every week. Thank you.
Aww.
Blame your ancestors.
There you go, Jeanette.
It's not.
My mother made me do it.
That's right. And my grandmother and my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother.
Get a Twinkie.
But you notice we always made it women. We didn't say the grandfathers.
That's true.
Why do we blame the mothers and not
the... Grandpas want the steak.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to take a quick break.
Actually, the grandpa
but we'll
wants
be back.
Grandpa wants grandma's. What
it is. Yeah. That's right. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your phone calls. 888-312-5757.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
Oh, oh, well, I'm falling in love again. Oh, 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 oh. Many's the time I've been too tired. Many's the time I've been stung. Many a honey took all of my money, but that was when I was much younger. Made up my mind to be careful, made up my mind to beware. I was all right until Saturday night, I'm in a gal with the goldenest hair.
Oh, and we're back. Leading Edge here. Medicine, no golden hair in this studio.
Nope.
Nope.
Yours is a luxuriant brown.
Brownie. Auburn,
and I'm about as blonde as you can get these days.
There you go.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We call that white.
Platinum. You've got the Billy Idol platinum hair there.
Right.
Yes. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. Welcome to the show. We are live today in the studio taking your calls, and we'd love to talk with you at 888-312-5757. We are going to go to Artis right now. Hi there, Artis. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi there. Good morning.
West of Gig Harbor.
Wonderful. Okay. West of Gig Harbor. So what's going on?
How can we help you today, man?
I'm calling for my best friend, my very best friend. She's having lots of problems with her knee, and she's gone to the orthopedic doctor and had shots of cortisone. And if I remember way back, I was telling her about Synvix injections.
Okay.
And I was wondering if they're still giving that and if it helps and what is it and if you could explain it.
Sure. Well, Synvisc is the oldest of the hyaluronic acid lubricants. Basically, there's a chemical in our joints called hyaluronic acid, and it's a dilute solution, but it makes things slick. And so it allows the cartilage to rub across each other and be lubricated so they don't wear as bad. Okay. They make a version of hyaluronic acid that's cross-linked, so it's kind of thick. It's more like a watery gel, and you can inject it into the knee. And it's kind of like putting thick motor oil in an old engine. You know, it provides extra lubrication so that things don't rub and hurt so bad. Now, they've got several different versions of it out now, not just Synvisc. They come under a variety of brand names that Dan Nelson could rattle off the top of his head. I don't. I stick with Synvisc because it's the one they had back when I was injecting knees 25-plus years ago. These tend to last 6 months or so, some a little longer. And then they basically get reabsorbed by your body, and you may need another shot. So if that's all you're trying to do is to buy a little time, the injections work okay. Now, if what you're after is to cure the underlying problem, that's different. They're not going to fix that. Okay.
No, well, she's 89, and she doesn't want to have a knee replacement or knee surgery at all. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing she might consider... because I wouldn't want a knee surgery at 89. The fact is, I'm 75 and I don't want a knee surgery now.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a knee that gives me a little grief. You know, back when I was 18, 19 years old, I had a hand grenade shred my left knee and throw mud and leaves and crud into the joint.
Ouch.
And it drained pus for over a year.
Oh, wow.
And so I've got kind of a traumatic arthritis in that knee. Now, I control
she has a lot of arthritis.
Yeah. I control my knee discomfort very nicely with Relief Factor, which is a over-the-counter product that I actually invented, and I own the company. So,
we know all about Relief Factor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, so I control mine pretty well with that. If it gets to the point that that's not going to give me enough help, I'm going to go see Dan Nelson and let him do the stem cells in my knee that he did for my hip. Okay. He can take some stem cells out of your bone, out of your iliac crest, and purify them, inject them into your knee, and actually give you the growth factors to grow and heal and repair that worn out old joint. And that works about 75% of the time. Not 100%, but...
Can she go back to her orthopedic doctor and ask about the Synvix or
she can.
Variation of it and
see
if she can have that kind of an injection? Because the cortisone, it maybe helps for just a little while, but then that it goes away. And it's
it's worse than that. Cortisone actually accelerates the degeneration in the knee.
Okay.
So, yeah, cortisone is good to decrease pain and swelling. That's the good side. Yeah. Remember Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. The good side is you decrease the pain and swelling. The bad news is you actually accelerate the rate at which the knee goes bad. So short-term good, long-term bad. So I try to stay away from cortisone injections as much as I reasonably can. Okay. If somebody's absolutely miserable, it's a good quick fix.
Okay. Well, I'm sure she's listening, but I'll tell her to go back to her orthopedic doctor and ask about the Synvix or some derivative, you know, that's similar to it, and see if she could get that injection and try that and see if that will relieve some of her pain and discomfort.
Yep, and that will probably give her 6 months or so of relief. There's a good chance anyway. It's worth a try.
It's worth a try is right. Okay, well, thank you very much. I listen to you every week. Well, get lots of good information. So thank you
good.
Very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Artis.
Bye.
All right. Okay, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the house and taking your calls. Every week we are here with you, and I love that. 888-312-5757 is the number to call in with your question. Right now, headed to Mount Lake Terrace, and Sandy is on the line. Hi there, Sandy.
Hello, Sandy.
Hello. I've got probably a real simple question for Dr. Mixon.
Okay.
It's such an old one. I have had slightly, or at least that's what I've been told, high cholesterol for quite some time, and I tried taking the statins for a while, and it just made me sick to my stomach.
Okay.
So fortunately, in those days, I had a doctor that said, well, take red yeast, rice, and niacin. And that seemed to satisfy everybody, but now I've been told it's really high, and I don't know exactly what to do. The statins scare me, for one thing, and secondly, the others seem to have helped enough in recent years. Now, I'm told that my good cholesterol, which I can never remember whether that's high or low, is extra high, 95 or something like that. Does that sound high?
Yeah, that's
high. And that
will
offset a lot of the bad. Pardon?
I said that's high, but it's not necessarily bad. Yeah. HDL.
I thought it was supposed to offset the bad cholesterol.
Yeah, it helps, yes. Yeah, HDL, normal is anything over 40. Usually we don't see it higher than maybe the upper 50s or low 60s. So 90 is unusually high. But I'm not aware that it causes any special problems, although in someone like you, a couple of things I'd want to run. I'd want to do a particle size and a breakdown looking at your fractionated cholesterols. They break the LDL down into three subfractions. They have an intermediate cholesterol, then that high density also gets broken down into three other fractions. By looking at which precise subfractions of cholesterol you've got, we get a better idea of how much risk you're at. Not all cholesterol is dangerous. Not all LDL is equally bad. Some forms of LDL are not all that tough, actually. By looking at the size of the LDL cholesterol particles and the HDL particles, we can get a lot of information, too, about how much risk you got. My first gut is there's a whole lot more testing I'd like to do on you than what I have heard from you thus far.
Well, I'm also assigned to the clinic in Linwood of yours.
Okay.
So what do I ask for?
You just tell them that. Tell them that you have high cholesterol and you'd like to get something like along the lines of the Boston cholesterol test, or the Boston blood test. There's several different companies out there that do it. Boston Scientific is one of them. And they can break down your cholesterol into subfractions and tell us exactly how much risk you're really at. And treating the different fractions can be somewhat different. So, but if you're with our docs up in Linwood, who are you with up there?
Oh shoot! I was forget his name. It's a him
or her.
Okay. It's a him.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Should I sing no?
No. It's fine. No, that's fine. Yeah, just tell them what we've talked about, and they can run the tests. In fact, they can take it a step further since you're at our clinic. They can also run a test that looks at the plaque in your arteries and tells us whether this is stable, relatively safe plaque, or whether that plaque is forming a cholesterol sort of form that might rupture and give you a heart attack or stroke. And these are things we can give you very good numbers on. So, talk to the doc.
I'm really impressed with Boston.
Boston Scientific. Yeah. Yeah, they do good
scientific
work.
Because I have those two jacks in my lower back, like you. Uh-huh.
Yep. All
and
right.
I swear by Dr. Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We love our Dr.
Yes,
Dan.
Yes, yes. He's a great guy.
I love you, Dr. Dan.
Well, we enjoy him too, and which is why we get him on the show pretty often. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
I suspect his Sarah is taking over more of the business, though, because she now has her own assistant.
Yeah, he is so darn busy that he's having to find ways to multiply himself.
Yes. Yeah, they haven't cloned him yet, but they're trying.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you for the call, young lady. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sandy.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your calls at 888-312-5757. If you call now, you may be able to get in before the end of the show. And Jesse, you hang on. We'll talk with you next. Stay close.
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, your energy level just booms, and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and taking your calls, talking about all sorts of things about your health today. And we will continue on the show. We have about a half hour left here. Let's go to Lakewood. Jesse on the line. Hi there, Jesse.
Hello, Jesse.
Hello.
How can I help?
Hi. Well, I'm calling about my sister, and she has been in chemotherapy for breast cancer. I think she's had like 5 or 6 weekly treatments at this point.
Uh-huh.
And she was tolerating that fairly well, but lately the nausea and the altered taste sensation and diarrhea is just really making life difficult for her. Mm. And I was wondering if you had any idea of a type of food or a diet that she could maybe eat. She's lost about 10 pounds as well.
Yeah. That's a problem. And part of it is because I don't want to interfere with her chemo.
Right.
You know, some chemos are designed specifically to interfere or to cause free radical damage to the cells. Mm. And if you give those people lots of antioxidants and stuff to prevent free radical damage, you can actually interfere with the chemo.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So those supplements are wonderful for those of us not on chemo, but they can actually interfere with the chemo.
Counterindicated.
Yeah. So, all right. Dietary tolerances are difficult. All I can do at this point, have they given her any medications, any anti-nausea medicines?
They have, and 2 or 3 kinds. I talked to her today, and she said she just took a pill of the strongest type.
Uh-huh.
And also, my mother has Alzheimer's, and I'm the primary caregiver, but my sister would come and relieve me for a few hours every week, but she hasn't been able to do that lately.
Okay.
So she's kind of disabled almost with this. She has to be near the bathroom all the time. And,
yeah.
She's concerned.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think of what else she can do. I know he's probably on, what was it? You said pill. They haven't given her a suppository, have they?
Well, she maybe didn't tell me that, but I could ask her.
Okay. Because they do make anti-nausea medications as pills, but for people that are having trouble keeping anything down, they also have some that can go in as suppositories and get higher doses that way, directly absorbing it through the bowel without worrying about throwing it back up.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah. So that's always something to consider if she's throwing up her medicine to put it in a suppository. You're limited to things that are easily absorbed and get through the stomach in a hurry. Because the nausea, the risk is you're going to throw it back up. And so if it causes the stomach to spasm and it comes back up and out, it doesn't help you much. So you need things that come in fairly small quantities that clear the stomach quickly. And that's where we get to my Jewish neighbor who used to call whenever I got a cold, she'd call me over for some Jewish penicillin, which was chicken soup.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
She swore that chicken
that
soup cured it
all. Yeah. She's also low on sodium. So she's been drinking soup, especially broth and noodles and just to try to raise her sodium.
Yeah. But have her, when she does her soups, don't do a bowl. Do a little bit. Do 2 ounces or so. Give it 30 minutes.
Okay.
Then do the next 2 ounces. If you stretch the stomach, if you fill it with anything, you're going to trigger spasm and it'll come back up.
Ah.
So what you want to do is put in things that clear quickly. These are things like the soups that are in small enough quantities so they clear out through that pyloric valve into the bowel. So get it out of the stomach. You can't vomit from your bowel. You only vomit from the stomach. So get it through quickly and then have another little aliquot. Okay? So lots of small, non-irritating, innocuous sorts of small feedings. That's probably your best bet. And if she's having trouble keeping her pills down, have her talk to her oncologist about using the suppository forms. Okay?
Yeah, I have a cookbook that gives recipes for cancer patients, but they don't really tell what the principle involved is. So, but you're helping me out by saying small quantities that clear quickly.
Right.
So I will talk to her about that and look through my cookbook here and see
what else you can put together.
That.
Sure.
Yeah, I was thinking of fruit smoothies might be something.
It might be. It might be.
Yeah, she has a metallic taste in her mouth all the time, she says. Mm.
That's the medication, though.
So,
a lot of people complain it tastes like nickel.
It was so kind of odd that I had been diagnosed about a year ago with prostate cancer. So I was going through radiation. And one day she started crying, and she told me that she'd been diagnosed with this triple-negative HER2 breast cancer.
Ooh.
And when she was crying, I thought her dog had died at first.
She had
a very old dog. But so we've been going through all sorts of things in the family here.
All right.
But hanging in there.
Good.
I listen to you for 4 hours every day, and then I listen to Zach Abraham when you're done.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jesse.
Appreciate having you there as a listener.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you,
sir. Bye-bye.
This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're on the air every single Saturday at this time, and we thank you for joining us. Of course, the show is brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic.
Right.
Yes, and we invite you to come in. We've got a couple of things going on. Like right now, if you have been hearing us talk about the Galleri test,
yep,
that is the cancer screening test for 50 cancers.
50 different cancers. It is $1,250 because it's not covered by insurance. But it will, it's about $25 per cancer, which makes it pretty reasonable, actually. It's just there's a whole lot of cancers we're screening for.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing with cancer is the earlier you catch it, the better. And by the time the cancer is causing symptoms, by the time you're having problems due to the cancer, it's usually spread.
Mm.
We often find most, you know, most of the fatal cancer cases are people that were diagnosed late. And the problem with that is, you know, you get an organ, say you got a kidney and you got a little cancer in it.
Uh-oh.
As long as the cancer's small, you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's until you start peeing blood or something that we have to start getting excited.
Having the scary symptoms, yeah. Yes.
By then, it's already spread and eroded through a blood vessel. That's why you're peeing blood. So don't wait for symptoms. You know, you can get the Galleri test that'll screen for 50 different cancers. And if you're going to have a cancer, you want to find it early. You don't want to wait and find it because you said, oh, doc, I'm having these symptoms. That in and of itself is a bad sign with a cancer. Okay. Find it early where there are no symptoms. That's when we have our best shot at curing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Galleri test, we did them up in, we've been doing them for our patients for well over a year.
Yeah, if you're a longevity patient, ask your doctor because we've been doing them.
So a couple of weeks ago, we did a bunch up in
Kirkland
for people that are not our patients.
Mm-hmm.
And we are making the same offer down in Tacoma. You don't have to be a patient. If you are a patient, you can still come.
Yes.
But it's aimed for specifically at non-patients because our patients can get it anytime. And just call 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-Y-O-U-N-G. Tell the folks there you'd like to make an appointment for the Galleri test down in Tacoma. It's in our Tacoma clinic between 4 and 8.
This Thursday.
So you're running short of time. We are indeed filling up. We filled up so much in Kirkland. we had to hire another phlebotomist. They filled. We got another phlebotomist.
You
know, we ended up with 3 phlebotomists. In Tacoma, we've got one person about full. If we get more calls, we'll simply bring somebody else in to do the blood test, though. So we are limited. You do have to have an appointment. We can't have everybody show up at once. The phlebotomist can only draw blood on one person at a time. So if you want to get a Galleri test, $1,250, I think money well spent, $25 per cancer.
Yes.
Find these things before they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
While we can still fix them.
We've been dreaming of a test like this.
We have indeed.
We've been hoping, I wish there was a test that could tell me I have cancer before. Yeah. And now it's here. It's just not covered with insurance.
It's some things that it's better than others.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, malignant melanoma.
Mm-hmm. That's the skin cancer mostly?
That's the really nasty skin cancer. It only picks up about 45% of them.
Okay.
Nothing done to or by humans is perfect. This test is not perfect, but it's pretty darn good.
Yes.
And it's the best screening test we've got anywhere on planet Earth right now for cancer.
There you go. It's called the Galleri test, and you can get scheduled for the one taking place at our Tacoma Clinic, the Tacoma Longevity Clinic, on February 23rd. We've extended the hours now, so it's in the evening from 4 until 8 p.m., February 23rd, and that's this Thursday. Here's the number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That, of course, is also the same number you can call to get a health analysis appointment.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you've been thinking about this, you're coming in, making an appointment for the Galleri test, mention you'd like to get a health analysis, and
we can do them both.
Yes, we can do them both at the same time. Of course, the health analysis is just 2 simple tests, the blood test and the in-body test, but we'll be getting some health history from you anyway for Galleri, so why not?
That's
just
right.
Another thing you can be doing. For more information, of course, you can go to our website, lmclinic.com. That stands for Longevity Medical Clinic. You can also call us at 866-86-YOUNG, and if you call
call now. In fact, there's somebody that are at our Kirkland Clinic that can take that information and either get you scheduled or get that information to someone so they can schedule you first thing Monday morning, but at least you're on the list. That number again, 866-86-YOUNG. We'll be back. We've got a couple more questions from Terry and Lou in just a moment on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
I fly for a living, and I change in time zones and all this other stuff, and getting colds, and when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds, so I'm just working, you know? So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Pathetic.
Why is he on our show? Because he has no hopes
and
dreams.
Jerk, quit singing and call us.
We
want to give you the ability to have hopes and dreams and plans and schemes. The schemes can be the most fun of all.
I'm thinking his medical doctor told him he was normal for his age, and he got so sad he wrote a song.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, I think so. You're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. My name is Lynette. Let's go to the phones. And calling in from Mount Lake Terrace, we have Terry on the line. Hi there, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Hi there. I'm about to see my have a telehealth with my primary that I haven't seen in a couple of years. And I've got a pretty long list of things that I want to discuss with her. But one of the items on the test list that I usually use, I've never requested and I didn't know anything about, so I looked it up, and it's prolactin, and the article that I came across was prolactin, man's friend or foe, and that's my question. Is there anything you can learn from that?
Yeah, what is prolactin? Let's find out that
first.
All right,
well, first, prolactin is a pituitary tumor.
Oh, okay.
It's a pituitary product.
Okay.
Sorry, it is often made by pituitary tumors. Which is how you get too much prolactin, hyperprolactinemia. Hyperprolactinemia is a problem with men because it causes gynecomastia. It gives them big breasts.
Okay.
Okay. And they can even produce a little milk if they get enough breast tissue.
Okay.
So, you know, as you might expect, prolactin levels tend to be higher in young women, which is why their breasts start growing. Prolactin levels rise in adolescence, and, you know, young girls start turning into women with larger breasts. My daughter, by the way, is hating the concept.
Oh, boy.
She said, I don't want those big things hanging on my chest.
Oh.
She's 10 years old.
There you go.
She'll learn they have utility.
Okay, so why in men would this happen?
Usually a tumor in the pituitary.
Okay.
And the bigger the tumor, the higher the prolactin.
Okay.
They tend to start getting gynecomastia, and they also get fatter. Prolactin triggers weight gain, just as you would expect in a woman who's just had a baby, and she's making milk, and they tend to get a little thick in the waist. Right? Yes. The prolactin is one of the hormones that goes way up and shifts the metabolism towards fat.
Okay.
Now, guys that have a prolactin tumor, prolactin-producing tumor in their pituitary, they are often fat. They think that their big breasts are from being overweight. See, they think they got their moobs, their man boobs, from their big belly. Actually, it can be the same thing causing the big belly that's causing the big breasts, and that's actually a tumor in the pituitary kicking out large quantities of prolactin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's usually why we're screened for prolactin. If I see a guy with gynecomastia and a big belly, I want to know, is the big belly and the breast caused by his pituitary, or is he just fat and got fatty tissue in his breasts?
Okay.
So. Okay.
All right.
Well,
answer your question.
When I was with the clinic, and it brings up another one. When I was with the clinic, I did have I was estrogen dominant, and I still believe that to be the case. I was on and off aromatase inhibitors.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I have some of that symptom now, about 10 pounds more than my ideal weight, and it's all around the belly button circumference, and so there's mm-hmm. some sub-Q and probably some visceral. And I think I'm going to ask for this and see how it comes out and see what we can learn from that.
It's just a blood test.
Really,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Just a blood test.
Just a blood test and a little bit of money. You know, both of those are replaceable. You're going to make more blood, and hopefully you'll make more money. So things just work out fine.
Well, my insurance does pay for all of the tests that I've ever requested. So,
but then you pay the insurance company.
So. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Actually, as far as premiums, I don't have any premiums.
Wow.
So anyway, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah. But see, if you're over 65 mm-hmm. and you've got a Advantage plan, the premium is still paid. It's just paid by the feds, and it comes out of the Social Security budget. And the Medicare budget. So, you know, it's the money is being spent. It's nothing is free. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whose budget is it coming out of. And guess what? When the government spends the money, they got to get it back from us.
There you go.
It comes from us to them, to the insurance company, to the lab. Mm-hmm. We're just adding extra layers of profit, because the government's going to spend some of that money maintaining the government and all of their workers in the department.
Yep.
They're going to send it to the insurance company that's going to pay all of their people, and their CEO is going to make $40 or $50 million a year out of that money, out of our government tax money. Then it's going to go to the lab. Cheaper all around if we just paid it ourselves.
That's right. There you go.
You get three layers of employee payments out of the way.
There you go. But, let's do that.
Oh, well.
Oh, we're going to head to Linden, and Lou is on the line. Hi there, Lou. How is it in Linden today?
Hello, Lou from Linden.
Yeah, it's rainy and gray skies. Surprise, surprise.
All right.
You must be in Western Washington.
Yeah. And I wanted to discuss the zombie cells. A month mm-hmm. or two ago, I heard about zombie cells, and I'd never heard of them before. I'm 71 years old, and I was shocked to realize I've got all these little zombie cells running around on my body.
And, well, they're not running. They don't have enough energy for that. They just sit in one spot and poison you.
Yeah, we don't want that. No.
So they say you can get rid of them by taking some products or other, but I wonder what you thought about that.
We treat our patients. It's called senescent cells. They are senile cells. Right. We jokingly refer to them as zombie cells because they're kind of the living dead. They don't do their job anymore. They quit doing what they're supposed to do, and they're just sitting there actually keeping other healthy cells from doing their job too. And so they basically are poisoning your immune system. The older you are, the more you tend to have, which is part of why you don't heal and repair as well as you get older. And unfortunately, the senescent cells trigger other cells to become senescent. So it's a kind of a pile-on situation. We treat a large number of our patients for senescent cells. We've got some drugs that are very, very good at reducing the number. And so, you know, I get my senescent cell treatment about every other month. I take some medication to knock out my senescent cells. There's some supplements that'll let you produce them slower, but they're not very good at actually getting rid of the ones you got. So to get rid of them, the best regimen we've come up with so far is a antineoplastic drug called dasatinib, and then we use that with in combination with a supplement called quercetin. And so 100 milligrams of dasatinib and 1,000 milligrams of quercetin a day for 3 days will lower your senescent cell load about 30%. We then wait a week. We do it one more time, we wait a week, we do it a third time. That combination will lower your total senescent load by about 2/3. You still have about 30% of them, but you always have some. And it usually helps folks feel and function a whole lot better. In the animal studies, they actually treating the mice one time increased their lifespan by 36%.
Wow.
What do you feel when you get, when you go through this process? How do you feel it changed or different?
Well, the medication's kind of potent. Me, I get a little headachy and loggy by the third day. But that clears the next day when I don't take the medication. Most people just find that they're able to heal injuries and repair wounds and grow new tissue more efficiently. And the lower your senescent cell load, the better you do at healing and repairing. And since I use my body heavily, and, you know, I run, jump, leap, cavort, and have a great life, and so I want to keep it up. So I keep my senescent cell load pretty low.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the information.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Have a great time.
Bye-bye. Okay. That was Lou, and we'll see if we still have Jim available. Jim was our last caller today.
Okay, and we've only got a couple of minutes.
Oh, and you know what? We don't have Jim. Jim, you call
Jim
us back
off.
And be at the beginning of our shows next week. Give us a call at the very beginning of the show. Now, next week, there's a rumor we just might have Dr. Michael Gilbert in from Northwest Vision
Institute. We talked to him earlier. We had an eye problem. I asked him to call in, and he did.
Yes.
And I invited him or his son.
Mm-hmm. Either one.
There's Michael Gilbert Sr. and Michael Gilbert Jr., or maybe he goes by the second.
Yeah, I think they call, you either have Michael Gilbert or Dr. Michael.
Dr. Michael, okay.
Dr. Gilbert or Dr. Michael.
At any rate, two first-rate ophthalmologists
yes,
in the
I
same
have,
clinic, father-son team. And so I invited Michael to have one of the Michaels come in next week. Hopefully they will.
All right. That would be awesome. We'll be back in the studio live next week, as we are every week on Leading Edge Medicine. So looking forward to having you call us. And if you've been hearing about the gallery test, you still can get in and make that phone call to get your appointment. It's by appointment only at our Tacoma Clinic this Thursday, February 23rd from 4 to 8 p.m. And what you need to do is call us at 1-866-86-YOUNG and we'll get you on the list to come in for that test. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also call us and get that health analysis appointment. We're so passionate about getting you in, finding out what's going on in your body and finding out what can be done as you are aging.
And anybody that doesn't like what time and gravity are doing to them should come in and get this test.
There you go.
Because what we're going to do is we're going to do two simple tests. One, a little blood test just from a finger prick. The other one is going to have you stand under your ice. It's going to measure fluid intake and water and fat and muscle. And we're going to talk about your risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
And once we know how much risk you're at, then we can offer you a full blood panel.
Yes.
If you take that one, it'll cost you, though, $5.95. Mm-hmm. But that will look at in detail. Get about a 70-page printout. It's going to tell you what you're at risk for. And then you also get an extra hour with our doctors.
That's huge.
To consult.
An hour with the doctors. Did you hear that? All of your questions.
$2,000 worth of lab work and an hour with a doctor for under $600.
Yes. That is huge.
It's a deal.
Oh, yes. Call us today. Get that health analysis appointment scheduled. And you can use that same phone number, 866-86-YOUNG, or you can schedule it by going online to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com and click on health analysis appointment and we'll get you all set up with one of our Kirkland clinics, Tacoma clinics, or the one in Linwood. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
The preceding program was paid for by Longevity Medical Clinic and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KPI management and staff.